From Puebla, it's Austin, Texas. This is Stacker News Live!
Hello, this is Joe. Welcome back to another exciting episode of Stacker News Live. My name is Carl. I have Keon and Poet.
Hi. Hello, everyone.
Car is a hero. Let's give it up. We're happy to be here.
Yeah.
Keon's
live studio.
Keon's so upset.
I'm not upset.
How upset are you right now? 52 minutes wasted.
Zero? I'm zero upset.
You're upset?
I'm not upset.
Okay, that's good.
I'm ambivalent about everything at the moment.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a good.
You usually don't like wasting time.
I don't like wasting time.
52 minutes is what
I don't get.
Time.
I don't really get mad. Like, well,
no waste was had today because
today I wasn't really. Yeah. Oh, sorry, I interrupted.
Well, because you got educated about Justin Bieber's new album.
That's right. Yeah, I learned things, Carr. You opened a door for me into Justin Bieber's latest album, and without this temporary technical issue, I might have never known these things about Justin Bieber's album.
Holy shit. Yeah.
Anyways, if you've never seen this crazy show before, it's called Stacker News Live. We cover the top five stories on the front page of Bitcoin, Stacker.news every week. We got new subscribers. We're growing. I think last week's top video was the graphing one. Or no, it was the Tether one. Oh, no, it was the Tether one. That was the most popular video last week. So if you haven't seen it, go watch it. Yeah, and then you can link to it here. And then you can jump on and talk about it with all your friends. With all your Stacker News friends. It's really cool. Shout out to Wumble for making that happen. Keon, what was your, how was your week?
My week was pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah?
I think, yeah, I've been riding my bike. I think I rode it one day this week. Otherwise, I've been walking. But maybe it's 2 days. That's nice. I like riding my bike. I don't really have anything. I don't, you know, have anything else. Oh, we woke up really early to do the release that we'll talk about later.
Yeah.
That was sort of exciting because it had some issues. But that's about it. That was my fun week.
And Poet, how was your week?
Got another zine for this week. Here it is.
Cha-ching.
I had a really fun time putting this together. What else did I do? My poetry books came in. So I have one for you, Carr.
Oh, you do?
Actually, it's back at my house. I just remembered.
Okay.
But anyway, cool. So those came in. So I'm going to be sending those out. If you got one, you should look for a message from me soon.
Awesome.
About how to get it to you. That's about it. Yeah.
Awesome.
What about you, Carr?
Yeah, it was good. Good week. We had another week of startup school. That was cool. And then went to a React meetup at Capital Factory. That was really fun. Starting to realize every meetup is an AI meetup now.
They talk about like AI React tools.
Yeah, it was good though. It was really good. It was over MCP and how to set that up with React as a front end. It was really insightful. But yeah, I just noticed like every meetup's just slowly becoming like a AI integrated. We'll talk about more about, we have some stories we're going to cover, but that was really cool. Was able to talk to some new devs and get a different perspective outside of the usual Bitcoin kind of thing. But yeah, it was a good week.
Ah, sounds great.
Yeah. Let's jump into the top five stories of the week. Number five top story is, will Gen Z realize its future runs on fossil fuels? This is from Den, 22 comments, 921 sats. Keon, what's this?
Yeah, Den kind of breaks down an article arguing for fossil fuels. Maybe it has like the right point, maybe, that Gen Z has sort maybe a naive view about fossil fuels. But it argues for them as like the state needs fossil fuels. The fossil fuels are good for the state is kind of governments, or the American government is kind of the point of view. And maybe there's a point to them doing that, because maybe Gen Z has a political slant towards state things that are state pro state, state biased. I don't know. But then, because I guess based on some Pew research, a lot of Gen Z people would like to phase out fossil fuels. And so that's kind of what prompted the whole thing. But he says things in here like, the more fossil fuels we have, like the better we can, or the more energy independence we have, the more money we have to fight wars, basically, or to fund our own military. And then he also uses that, the graphic that you had just pulled up, which this only shows, shows electricity generation, which is a fraction of what fossil fuels are used for. I guess we don't probably put that. I mean, that's probably worth comparing this way because we don't use wind power to power anything but electricity. And a lot of these renewables, because they're usually pretty stationary relative and like not portable relative to most fossil fuels. So that's why you maybe couldn't come up with another graph that made sense. But it definitely underrepresents how important fossil fuels are. Anyway, Den writes a lot of these articles himself, so I think he has a pretty critical eye toward them. That's primarily what this is about. And I think,
Looks like we have Socks with the top comment. He said, I'm Gen Z. My family runs the fossil fuel scene where I live. You have a car, a boat, a generator, an industry, a jet. Our name is there. But I've been raised with the core principle of never trusting fossil fuels. But we're running out of them. That's it. We'll probably die before it happens. We'll probably die before the environment will stop giving you the life you're living now. But our children or grandchildren, my family is investing in renewable energies. Shell is doing that. ENI is doing that. They're going as fast as they can while trying to lobby for you to slow down your adoption of renewable energy. And they're going to sell you just that in a couple of decades. Pleb Poet, what do you think about what Socks just said?
That is an interesting fact to learn about Socks and the family.
Yeah, I don't know what it's kind of vague. What does running the fossil fuel scene mean? Does his family owns gas stations, maybe?
I mean, our name is there. Our name is on it.
Yeah, I would imagine that he has family that runs.
That's a birthday dog. The birthday dog just entered. Hello, birthday dog.
Oh, wow. It looks like a giant rat.
I don't know. That's so cute. I am kind of maybe confused a little bit, though, like if there's like a contradiction in there or I'm just not reading it clearly enough.
I don't think there is. I guess that, well, I think they don't trust fossil fuels. Maybe they have a very, the fact that they're skeptical of fossil fuels, yet they run the scene for them. Is a contradiction.
Yeah, well Socks is from the other side of the world, and so they're very is bullish the right word on green energy?
Yeah, I mean, I know you are, I don't know, like incentivized to like add a solar panel to your house.
Yeah, they're kind of psyoped on the green energy side of things, the way we're psyoped on fiat currency on this side. That's what I would say. Like United States dollar is our PSYOP on this side of the world, and green energy is their PSYOP on that side of the world. If that makes any sense? No, you don't think that? I think that's accurate.
I was distracted.
No, I don't know. I mean, I don't spend a lot of time in Europe, so I don't really know. But it does seem like they have been having energy trouble, especially in Germany, and a lot of Western Europe, but.
We are losing the energy battle. I mean, we had that post a couple weeks back, or maybe it was like a few months back, maybe a couple months back, about the energy empires. Remember the one that you talked about?
Yeah, that is the United States is, I forget the exact graph, but it's something like we are not using as much energy.
Yeah.
And that's a sign of our decline.
Exactly. And the countries.
Oh, no, it's like power output. Like our power output is like low relative to China. Like China has. Yeah. Oh, it's percentage of power output globally, I think is what it is. and we are no longer use a higher percentage of power output relative to China. And they use that to, that one statistic to predict empire rise and fall, and did, I think, a bit of back testing, at least for a couple hundred years. And it seemed pretty good as a metric.
Okay, but I was slow to understand, like, that that last sentence that Sox wrote, which was like, they, the big names in energy want you to slow down, like, your renewable energy operation or whatever, so that in a couple years they can be the energy that you rely on still, like, so there's not like a change of like,
oh, you think that's like sort of like they're trying to convince competitors to not even get in the market,
right?
Oh,
so that they can capture it before it becomes, before it blows up.
Yeah, well, the green line right there is renewables and the blue line is nuclear for people that can't see behind the thing. And the red one is fossil fuels.
Yeah, it's hard to see. I think everyone's view is blocked by...
I'm confused, and this is just more of a joke. I'm confused. There we go. I'm confused. Like, is this girl doing meth? Like, what's going on here?
She has pearly white teeth.
Oh, okay. So I wasn't sure if this is like Breaking Bad or something.
I don't know why you thought that. Why did you think of meth?
Because it's like the Breaking Bad suit.
No, she has a hard hat on.
Oh, okay. So where's she at here?
She's at like the lab.
She's at some kind of,
Okay, cool. I was like confused. Like, why is that there? Okay.
I think she's Gen Z.
She's working at a green plant or a fossil fuel plant.
Although that's millennial eyeliner, but she could be Gen Z.
Millennial eyeliner.
Definitely millennial eyeliner.
That's a thing?
Just say, I notice things. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
No, this is good alpha for the guys. The guys that watch the show.
Yeah, pay attention, guys. This is really useful information for you.
Good stuff.
You don't even have to card them anymore. You just look at their eyeliner.
Just look for the Gen Z eyeliner, apparently. We're going to jump into the next top story. The introductory econ reading list. This is from Municipal at 19 comments, 3,122 sats. Keon. What's this?
Yeah, Aardvark posted, they wanted to learn more about economics, so they posted a question and Ask SN about what they should read and what they should be looking for when they're trying to learn more economic stuff.
Mm.
Yeah. And Undisciplined answers with their favorites. It starts out with Economics in One Lesson by Henry Hazlitt, which is a pretty common recommendation. It's a great, I think, starting point. It's fairly short and very clear. And then Rothbard you kind of have this progression. Rothbard is, I think, more approachable than Mises, and so recommends Mises. I haven't read Man, Economy, and State, I don't think, by Rothbard. And then Human Action, which is like a tome, which is, you know, I think like the foundation of Austrian economics, really, that a lot of Bitcoiners have read or read
pretend
parts
to
of.
Have read.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty awesome list of hits. I think there are shorter things. Diving into Human Action might be, if you follow this progression and you continue to be interested through Rothbard, yeah, read Human Action. You can find collections of Mises essays that are a little less comprehensive, and that's what I read a lot of in my early 20s. And I never got to Human Action. But if you want to be, if you aspire to be an economist and really understand this stuff.
Yeah, he said, I recommend reading them in this order with some caveats. If you've been hanging around these parts for a while, you can probably skip the first one. It is short, though, and pleasant read. After that, you're more philosophical inclined. You might want to jump straight to Human Action. And then he says, from there, Rothbard was Mises' successor, so there are some good points where he corrects or refines Mises' arguments. In my suggested order, you get the corrected version. Cool.
I did once crack open a human action.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, quickly came to the conclusion that I could pass on that.
It's just pretty, I think it's just, it's very exhaustive. And therefore, unless you're, you really want an exhaustive account of things, exhausting. That was my experience.
But definitely like, you know, a good title to know.
Yeah.
If you want to go to a bar. Like if you're a Will? Goodwill Hunting, if you're Will Hunting.
Okay.
That's what he would talk about. You know that movie?
I do know that movie.
He's in a bar. He's talking about economics at one point.
Oh, right.
I'm not making that up. He then has a fight about it.
You like apples.
How do you like them?
I like apples. How do you like them apples? Yeah. It's a good movie. Cool. The next... Where's the next one at?
And I should say, Undisciplined is an economist, so... He should know what you should read.
Yeah, shout out.
Don't listen to me.
Shout out on Discipline for slaying me this past weekend on Stacker on Stacker Sports. He laid into me, Coop.
What'd you do?
I was pretty calm.
For a good 5 minutes.
Maybe I missed it because I showed up for it, but I thought it was too calm.
Nah, it was really calm. He got after me for not using Fountain. But
for not using Fountain?
I'm holding down, like Ray Ruby said, I'm holding down Spotify for them.
Got to hold it down, dude.
Got to hold it down for him. But I do zap him on Stacker News, so there's that. Big fan, though. Big fan of Stacker Sports. It's the number one. It's climbing the top. It's climbing the top 20. It's climbing the top 20 on Fountain. Who knows? Maybe there will be two top podcasts on Fountain from Stacker News. We'll see. That's what I'm saying. We need more Stacker News territory podcasts.
Sure.
We'll see.
You've said it.
Said it from the beginning. Anyways. Oh, yeah. Let me just do this real quick because he did drop the... where is it at? Not that one. Oh, he does the econ territory?
Yeah.
He had the...
That's him.
Where is it at? Did he drop the... No, not this one.
I just got to pet the birthday dog.
Oh, you did?
Yep.
Yeah, he's doing the fantasy. He's doing the sports fantasy football. Like, I'm going to join it, but I just need to. When's the.
Is there a deadline?
Yeah, I don't know where the deadline's at. I don't see the deadline. Great, Ruby. I guess it's probably later this month or early August. Okay. Anyway, yeah, there's Stacker Sports Fantasy Football. Like, join it.
I also drew the birthday dog.
Oh, wow.
Show the...
It's longer than it is in person.
Yeah, it's kind of off scale. I don't know if you can see that.
Can you see that?
Yeah. It's like a... It's sort of like a small donkey that's also a leopard.
Yeah, it's got... Well, that's the hair.
Yeah, it's a cool dog. It's
got kind of splotchy...
Super nice dog.
Splotchy aesthetic. A grungy aesthetic.
Cool. Let's go to... The next top story is... PSA, I got shotgun KYC scammed by Pay with Moon. Lost $1,000, 14 comments from Conduition. Conduition, 3,648 sets. Kia, what's this?
Yeah, Conduition. They deposited $1,000 worth of Bitcoin into Moon, hoping to pay for some electronics with Bitcoin. I guess Moon allows you to load up like a Visa debit card with Bitcoin and then pay someone fiat with it. But I guess when they went to spend with the debit card, they got KYC'd, shotgun KYC'd.
Wait, I don't understand. What do you mean they got? So he deposited
Bitcoin. You get a Visa debit card. He went to go pay with the Visa debit card, and then he got his account locked, the debit account locked. And then he got an email from Pay with Moon saying that he had to KYC before he could use the debit card, which he did not expect because I think he's like below the limit that you would have to KYC. And so he's confused about what happened.
So what happened to his Bitcoin?
Then he contacted customer support, asked them what's going on? Can I just get a refund if you guys need me to KYC? And I guess customer support told them that they can only issue the refund after he KYCs.
Oh, wow.
So that's why he wrote this up. And so yeah.
What happened?
Well, the CEO responded to him in the comments.
Oh, he did. Dang, Stacker News has that much pull, bro?
It's not pull. I think it might be at the top there that you muted him for some reason.
Oh, because he's a new stacker.
Oh, it's a non, actually.
Yeah, I don't look
at it. Mute a non. Okay. That's just, yeah, CEO of Pay with Moon. And he says he's going to personally take over the case and figure it out. What he thought was that.
Are you sure that's him, though, if it's a non?
I don't know. I've read it. It seems
legit.
Seems credible to me. He said that they use chain analysis, and they suspect that chain analysis for some reason flagged the address that he sent the Bitcoin from, and that might have triggered the KYC process. Conduition says that the money was not mixed. It came from an exchange, but he said at some point like a related address was used to buy XMR.
Which stacker is this?
What do you mean, which stacker?
What was his first post? 23? Oh, okay, so he's been here a while.
What are you...
No, I was just wondering which stacker it was.
Hmm. Yeah, he does a lot of cryptography posts, actually.
Oh, okay. I don't remember that stacker. All right, cool.
Yep. I don't know what happened. He hasn't come back and written up if things got fixed or anything, but...
Interesting.
Maybe it's taking a while.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah, but hopefully it does. Hopefully they get him his money back.
Yeah. Hmm. Any other thoughts from the table?
I mean, yeah, I thought it was interesting the CEO shows up in the comments.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's nice that he might be able to help. It does sound like maybe customer service is a little opaque and then has very strict rules around what they can do and not do, which can be very frustrating.
How do you hear about it? How does he, if that's really him, how did he hear about it though?
I would guess someone who has one of his employees, maybe.
Yes.
He might browse Stacker News, or it got escalated on Twitter or some other platform where they might be.
Gosh, let's hope Wumble doesn't clip this. This might not be good for him on YouTube.
Oh. I mean, fortunately, few people would probably see it. And I don't know.
I mean, we've been getting some views.
Oh.
This could be bad.
Okay.
Why are you laughing over there?
It's just funny.
We do.
I mean, we're just reporting the news. We're literally just reporting the news. We're not spinning the news. We're not spinning the news here. Like, we're not spinning the news. This is just literally the news that's being reported this week because the Stackers voted it up.
I can flame you for being worried about your own perception so much. So,
okay. Good point. Keon, it's your side. What do you got to say for yourself?
About what?
About like if this getting clipped and then this is bad PR for him. What do you
think? I don't think it's that bad a PR.
You don't?
I think no, because he's stepped up and came out and said he's gonna help. I mean,
yeah, but like their interaction was good and also like firm. So I don't know.
Okay. I thought it was good. So it's good.
Yeah.
So this is good for them.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it'd probably be better if it didn't happen, but it is, it's probably, I mean, you have to, you know, all news is good news type of thing.
Post Trump or
what? What about Trump now?
It's for the algo, bro.
That's just his, like, one of his, like, car ticks is just Trump.
Trump. It's for the algo, bro.
And then post ETF.
Post ETF. No, I'm just messing around now. All right, let's go to the next one. This is what happens when you live in a post-AI world.
Scamdemic.
No, now we're getting taken down.
Deep
The number two tough story I dropped cashew e-cash nuts in the salon for 365 days. Here's what I learned. This is from blockchain. Boop.
I think he,
30 comments, 2,689 sets. Keon, what is eCash? I never heard of it before. Yeah.
Yeah, eCash is a, we've described it a number of times.
I love how he just tagged me in this. It's like kind of funny.
Oh, did he?
Just to troll me.
It's part of the lore.
Yeah, it is. I think it's part of his experience with it, that his posting this every day in the saloon.
Was just to troll Carr?
No, caused you to block him.
I didn't block him. I muted him.
Or muted him. Same difference.
No. Blocking is like you block somebody from your life. Muting is different.
You're right. They're very different. Yeah. So eCash is like, it's like bearer authentication to a custodial service. That's for, so it's kind of like you're using Wallet of Satoshi, but you don't log in with your email. Mm-hmm. You just have possession of like a very long string of characters. And that gives you the ability to spend a certain amount of money on something like Wallet of Satoshi, but it's not Wallet of Satoshi. It's an eCash mint. In most cases run by someone you don't know. So I think Blockchain Boog did this because he was experimenting with eCash and just kind of curious about how the applications worked. And this was a way for him to get some experience with some of the applications, some of the mints, and see what was up, because there's a lot of talk in Bitcoin about this being, you know, eCash kind of powering the next wave of either application use or, you know, privately using Bitcoin, that kind of thing. And so he got some experience with it. In general, it appears that he had a sort of negative experience, and he said that he won't be using eCash much anymore. I guess he got rugged once or twice, and then he was using a wallet that he really learned to like a lot towards the end, but then the developer stopped working on it for whatever reason. And then his experience dropping in the saloon was that it appeared that someone had a bot that was like waiting for him to post these eCash nuts and would claim them before, you know, a human had a chance. I think he was doing about 1,000 sats a day. But yeah, you know, it's a nice critique, I think, for eCash developers, something to hear, things like the characters being really long. Yeah. He didn't understand. Perhaps he could have had a better time fighting the bots if he understood what all the characters meant in the string, so yeah, that he could break it up effectively.
I never understood why it was so hideous. Like, it was so hideous. Like, that long string is just so hideous.
It's because it is what is expressing your right to the money in the mint.
Yeah, I get that, but like for the sake of like just pasting it, it's just.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. For as far as like pasting at places, yeah, it's very cumbersome.
It turns people off. It just like, especially like somebody like me who's like very sensitive to like looking at stuff like that on screen. It's just such a turn off. That's why I liked the LNURL. It wasn't that long. It felt smaller. There was always a QR code. Like it just.
Well, you could encode.
Yeah, but you never saw that. Yeah, we never did that.
It's very early days for eCash. It's kind of complicated technology, and you know, there's only so many people working on it.
Yeah, no, I get it. I'm not blaming anybody or saying anything. I'm just saying like it was very from the very get go when he started doing it, I was just like, this is so awful looking on the saloon. Eventually, after like I think it was like a couple months, or I was just like, yeah, I can't see this anymore. It's just like ruining my experience for the saloon. Cause I liked it when he was posting funny stuff on there. And it was just like, and I love Boog. Like Boog's one of my favorite stackers. And then I was like, okay, I'm just going to mute him for a while. And then I unmuted him after like the last 30 days I've been seeing it. And I was like, okay, I can get back to seeing Boog's stuff again.
It was a cool experiment, though, to do.
Yeah.
It was an interesting thing.
I wonder how he came up with it. I don't think he goes into that in the post here, but it's like, how do you come up with doing that?
Yeah.
That seems like a great way to actually
What's
and
your
doing it as long as he did it?
What's
too.
Your verdict on e-cashing out, Pleb Poet? Now that you've
for
seen
me?
It, yeah.
Oh, I haven't changed how I feel about it from the beginning. I'm never going to use it. It's not for me, I don't think.
Oh wow,
she's a Cash App girl, Car.
Yep.
Kian, what's your verdict on it?
I don't really have a verdict on. I don't like. I really dislike when people judge technology point in time, especially technology that people are working on and improving.
Yeah. What's your?
I think it's early. That's what I would say. It's early. I think we don't really know what bare authentication
and so it's like it's like Liquid 2020 then right now is what you're saying.
That is not what I said at all. I said it's early.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's like Liquid 2020 right now. That's my take on it. Has I think it's still early. It doesn't really know. It doesn't really have a use case outside of like the devs to use it for. It's like a souped up version of Elembits. At least that's what it looks like to me.
It's a little bit different because it has this privacy thing. The UX is slightly different, or quite a bit different, and it allows for alternative use cases. Given that the UX is slightly, it's like different requirements and liveness requirements and being online or not online depending on
sure
whether like the sender can send stuff offline.
I think right now, if the gulag came, like we all got sent to the gulag, like it would be good for right now if like everything hit the fan, then we could spin up mints and stuff like that. I think that would be really cool if like crap hit the fan. I think it would be a good use case for that. But I don't know if that's coming anytime soon, or at least right now.
I definitely don't see any gulag officials coming our way.
Yeah. At least not yet. So it's like a breaking case of tech. It's a breaking case of emergency technology. So it's good to have. But outside of that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely not ready for anyone but Boog, who's like an early adopter and likes experimenting, or devs who like creating the tech, you know, the software that early adopters can experiment with. So
it's also too, like with the whole light spark thing, kind of what you were explaining a couple weeks ago. I don't know how that's going to play out with eCash and stuff. So we'll see.
Yeah. To not just leave the point, unexplained, light sparks state chain has a federated group of, I think what they call, they do not, what do they call them? They don't call them collaborators. What do they call them? Operators. I think they have a federation of operators that is, and their regulatory cover is sort of is pretty much identical to Fediment's regulatory cover, which is an eCash protocol, federated eCash protocol. And so, you know, is Fediment desirable because it has this regulatory cover? If that's true, then people will use something like the state chain implementation that Spark is working on. But if eCash has valuable properties, like some of these trade-offs that you make and some of these benefits that you get from it, like privacy and things, then perhaps eCash has more use than just the regulatory cover, or Fediment in particular has more.
Yeah, there's definitely probably some learnings there they could probably take from them, I would imagine. But I don't know, it's going to play out.
Indeed, it is early. But yeah, cool experiment, Boog.
Yeah, really cool. Let's jump into the final top story of the week. Tether Fun Unbelievable Details Part 1. This is from Scoresby. 36 comments, 15,000 sats. Keon, more Tether news?
Yeah, this isn't Tether news. This is fun, unbelievable details.
Is it really fun?
I think it is. I read it and I found it fun.
Why'd you find it fun for?
Because I learned a lot of things about Tether that I did not know. like some of the businesses of the founders of Tether and how it has like layers of corporate structure to it, and that there are like celebrities involved. And Scoresby does an excellent job of having links to everything so you can kind of check them out and go deeper if you want. I get Patrick Straitman was involved in, I think, one of the entities related to Tether.
Now that's a link. Now that's a deep link.
And this is just part one. So this is going to be a series. We'll see some more.
I'm sure any second now.
Unbelievable facts.
Any second now they'll pull the stream. FYI. FYI, stackers. The deep state. They're going to pull the stream any second now.
Say one of the celebrities' names.
So it looks like basically here that Scoresby went ahead and uncovered all this stuff about Tether, and it goes really deep, like so much so that you could literally take all this and do a documentary on it.
Totally.
And it'd be one of the greatest documentaries of all time in Bitcoin. Because it uncovers a lot of things about this this company and how it was formed and all the controlling subsidiaries. What's even more fascinating is just the amount of breadcrumbs that have been left behind. He says there's like one in 2014 that he couldn't figure out between RealCoin and when it got switched over to Tether, which I'm sure you could find somewhere. Right here, I think.
Well, it's not that it's hidden.
I mean, it's not. That's not what I'm trying to imply. I'm just saying that it's left undiscovered.
Well, no, that particular where he says he couldn't find the link. That was just that he couldn't find the link when the actual switch happened. He could find later. He could find links to references later where it happened. Like I think a month or two later.
I can't wait for the documentary. This is gonna be one of the best documentaries of all time. Like this is gonna be so good. It's really good. Like, this could be so good. I can't wait. Somebody's going to take this and make this, like they should get started on it now. This is going to be so good in Sundance. It's going to be, like, one of the best. Like, seriously, it's going to be so good. Like, he's going to beat Satoshi's documentary they did this year for HBO.
I won't watch it, but I like...
You won't watch this? I like this. Dude, this is so good.
I like this post a lot. I don't need to watch the documentary.
It's going to... Dude, it's going to follow all this. Like, he literally laid down the whole thing.
Have you seen this documentary?
No, I can picture it in my head. When he had all this, I was like, oh, wow. He would just go literally line by line by line. Like, it's so well. And it's not that there's anything wrong with this. It's just like a beautiful Netflix thing. When I was watching, I was like, wow, this reads like an amazing Netflix documentary. It's well done. I mean, Scoresby. I didn't know you had it in you.
We definitely had, so I don't know.
Anyways, stackers, go check it out. I didn't even know Amir Taki was a part of it too. That was insightful.
It's just been on Bitcoin.
So. I mean, I knew about a lot of these people that were a part of it, but I didn't know Amir Taki was part of it. That was insightful.
I don't think it was a project that somehow Tether subsumed at some point.
It's really cool how it shows like you can start off like way back when, and then it just slowly becomes even more.
Yeah, it's cool. A lot of them had like false starts. They were, you know, otherwise
Brock,
on.
Brock Pierce is a part of it too. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. I didn't know he was a part of it. Man, what a shitcoiner. Man, what a major shitcoiner.
Oh, it was Brock Pierce who was a celebrity. I thought it was Patrick Straitman. But yeah, Brock Pierce, who was in the Mighty Ducks.
Yeah, yeah.
He was one of my favorites when I was
He was the one that did that whole crypto thing. And yeah, it's really crazy, huh? Anything else you like here, Coob?
No, I just really enjoyed reading that. I kind of couldn't stop myself.
You got anything to say, Plepoet, or you look shocked?
She's like, I'm not shocked.
You're like, don't want to say anything. It's okay. We don't.
Yeah. I just know that Tether is a good thing to be keeping track of. So
good comment.
Glad he's doing it.
It's okay. Only Carr can say something here.
It is becoming increasingly relevant I think today they signed the Trump signed the Genius Act, which is, I think, providing some kind of regulatory framework for stable coins. And I guess the Giancarlo was there. He was present.
We should know what's.
Yeah, he made a post about it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we should know what's given birth to what's coming. So, hey, know your history, Stackers. This is good stuff.
Yeah. And if it was a documentary, it'd be so good.
It'd be really good.
Carl's already seen it, guys.
Even Vitalik is a fan of it, too. Look, he wrote a pretty good description of MasterCoin. Man.
I mean, it was a small world back then. Yeah. So, but, you know, look Vitalik like and Amir Tahaki come up.
Back. I mean, dead. Yeah. I mean, look, ZeroX Book Owner said, what I find most ridiculous is that 100K minimum redeem. Their ads say you can always swap one for one, but then you've got this massive limit. I get that there needs to be a minimum, but not that much. Okay.
Yeah, so you can receive real dollars, but you have to have 100,000 tethers.
I don't know. If I saw this and somebody said, do you still want to use Tether?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I would.
I don't think the people...
I don't even know if I would trust anything...
But also, do the people using Tether have a choice?
I don't even know if I would trust anything that integrated Tether personally. I would look at this, see something that integrated Tether, and throw up personally. But to each their own, Stackers. To each their own. You got to make your own decisions out there. But Darthcoin. He said most impressive. Finally, somebody is paying attention.
He finally gave us an update on his built his.
Do you think?
It's got a roof.
Yeah, do you think you're gonna get DDoS for this post?
No,
dude.
I haven't seen the documentary. I don't think anyone gives a shit.
Dude, this is like the stuff that Reddit used to come up
and
with.
That's the right attitude,
dude. But this is the stuff. When I saw this post the other, because I was shocked that this got posted. But when I saw this, I was like, this is the stuff that Reddit was known for back in the day when it would do like amazing posts like that. Cause it was literally coming from the community doing it, right? Mm-hmm. And it was like very, like, you know, it would never come from a publication. It would never come from anything like that. It was like literally coming from the community.
Yeah. Boots on the ground.
Boots on the ground. Yeah.
Yeah. That's Scoresby right there.
And then
there.
So when I saw this, I was like, wow, this just proves like, yeah, this just proves that like Stacker News is important because I got 15,000 sats.
Let's go.
Let's go. And it made the number one story of the week.
And there's going to be a part two.
Oh, is there really?
Yeah, at least one more part.
Part three.
What's part two about?
I think he's going to go into like more what Tether's getting into now. I think he hints at it in the comments. A few people are like, well, they ask him a question and then he's like, part two.
It's like lightning stuff though, right?
It's going to be a surgical summer.
Lightning.
Yeah, I think so. I think he's going to get into like the products that Tether is currently involved. Cause this is kind of like details of their history.
Hey, you never know. Maybe it'll be a 360. Maybe he'll say, you know what? This is all good. How they evolved into something.
Scoresby is pretty good at staying impartial.
Neutral?
Yeah, neutral. And he's just reporting the facts. That's kind of what, you know, obviously everyone has a bias, but I don't sense any negativity.
I don't have a bias.
Oh, of course not.
What? Yes.
I just report the facts.
You don't trust them. You think anyone who uses them is untrustworthy.
I just report the facts to the Stackers every
week.
That's
a fact, dude. It's a fact.
Just report the facts. Anyways. This is a great post. Shout out to
Shannon.
I already zapped it, but you know what? What the heck? One more time doesn't hurt.
One more time, 16K sats.
Anyways, that's all the top stories of the week. We're going to jump into our top stories of the week. The first one, we're going to actually, do you want to go into Meta or you want to go into yours, Kian?
You always do this. I feel
all right, like, let's go into Meta.
Okay, cool.
Let's go into Meta. Let's go into the Stacker News fiction. What is
it? Yeah. So they're doing a Stacker News Fiction Month, and there's a bunch of sats up for grabs. I think both, I think Scoresby and Totally Human Writer and Siggy put up some sats, 100K grand prize, and then there'll be 200,000 sats total, and then the runners up will each get 10,000 sats. It's fiction, and the theme is going to be trust. Do you want to talk about it more, actually, Popo?
Yeah, let's talk about it.
You're a fiction writer, and I am.
Yeah.
Not
a writer. There's just been a lot of like a renewed energy into getting fiction onto Stacker News, because I think the people who have put sats up for this prize are the people that want to see and read more fiction as part of their experience of Stacker News. And I think that's great. Books and articles is like top territory for me. It's where I'm sharing stuff. So I'm excited. I've already got some stories in the works for this prize, and my sights are set. So I hope, you know, bring on the competition for real.
I got a really cool idea if somebody wants to take it.
Go for it. Let's hear it.
So back in the 1980s, early 90s, there's this really cool thing, really cool concept called read your own adventure. I would love to see like next month somebody do fiction pieces around this where you can jump around in Stacker News and it's like a read your own adventure.
Okay.
And so you basically,
it's like choose your own adventure. Choose it, right?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Choose your own adventure. Yeah. And then you could jump around in Stacker News in different posts. And depending on which path you take,
that's like the story that comes out.
Yeah.
That's a cool idea.
I think that would be really cool to see.
That is a cool idea.
Really cool to see.
Because I am working on like four separate stories.
But depending on what path you take in the book,
they could have different endings.
And then it would also be cool to see like it, you end up in different territories.
Right.
Yeah. I think that'd be really cool.
Cross the land.
When I saw this post earlier, I was going to.
No, that's cool.
I was going to put it in there as an idea for somebody.
Yeah, do it right now.
But I was like, it's too long to type. I was like, I'll just say it on the show because it's easier.
Yeah, but no, I'm really excited. I think somebody already like accidentally posted an entry.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Post one. Yeah.
Or is it at here, right?
Or a little early.
A little early. Yeah, right there.
Which one's this one? Oh, I have learned
David and Goliath story.
Probably one he had in his back pocket, I would imagine.
Well, it was he did write it pretty fast. So
I'm looking forward to reading one from Siggy. His are always good.
Oh, dude, I hope so. Yeah, but Siggy is.
I don't think he's.
I don't feel right. He's not a contestant. He's an organizer.
Maybe he'll just write one for the thing.
But yeah, like.
So it has to be fiction, though. It can't be like. Nonfiction.
Should be fiction, yeah.
Yeah, it should be fiction. But it should, you know, it's easy to take something that's nonfiction and.
Yeah, I don't know how to do one that's fiction, though.
Keon says it's easy.
I don't know. If you have like something that's nonfiction, you can probably, you know, you can tell a literal factual story and then mess around with it such that it's
fiction. Yeah, true. I haven't done fiction since I was like in my early 20s.
I've never done fiction.
Can I give you a few of the characters I'm working on?
Yeah.
One of them is a professor. Mm-hmm. Another one is a young entrepreneur, mm-hmm. based loosely off of someone I know personally.
Pleb Dev?
Not Pleb Dev. Mm. Another one is a couple of guys whose reality switches back and forth from being in a video game, VR, to real life.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm. And I forgot the other one. Mm. I told you about it, though.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Oh, the one you forgot about? You told me?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I remember it. Should I say what it is?
Yeah.
Well, it's like a woman who's like opposed to AI becoming like sort of infatuated with it, right?
Yeah.
That is.
Well, just a character, character type who you wouldn't think.
Yeah, she's like sort of like a Wiccan.
Yeah.
And she's, I think you said she's collecting her period blood.
That's right.
Yeah.
She does.
And then,
but she stops.
And then eventually she's like, wait, I don't need to collect my period blood. I have AI.
Exactly. And that's the lesson. Well, we'll work it out. We'll work out the details. But I think Carr is really excited about that.
Yeah. Carr's a big fan of period blood. Everyone knows here in the, like, when there's a,
everyone knows.
Yeah. When there's like, when we're celebrating something or anything, people come in with period blood.
Okay. Let's switch topics. Anything else to say here?
I don't know. Tag your submissions. Wait till August. 4,000 words.
Cool.
Yeah. Bring it on.
Bring it on. Sneakers. Are you going to do something, Keon? Or
I don't write fiction. Oh. I don't know how to write fiction. It's hard. There are like rules that I do not understand about. Is there, I can't even write like a
normal, and there's no AI essay. Post, right? You can't do AI stuff.
There was, what did they say about it?
Yeah, they said no AI.
They said no AI, absolutely.
Do not
AI.
Post AI generated stories. They are hideous to read, easier to spot, and I can't.
So yeah, this. So, but I think the distinction there is AI generated, right? But if you were going to use it to like be your like spell editor? Check.
Spell check, not editor.
No, I wouldn't even use it no? as editor.
I wouldn't either.
I would use it as like.
Is Grammarly cheating?
No. That's what I'm saying.
So Grammarly,
you're gonna like
so Grammarly,
Grammarly.
Depending on like,
I don't know
whether you're, you know, your
free version, free version of Grammarly.
Your Grammarly is turned up to 11, where it's basically rewriting your
Grammarly. The way. Free version of Grammarly, you don't get AI.
I've actually never used Grammarly.
It just fixes your punctuation and your commas and all your, yeah.
It's all in here for me. It's all loaded up.
It's helped me considerably. I remember when I first
a little wetware.
I was terrible at spelling. Still terrible at spelling.
But that's the I can say that's the only thing that I know. I don't know anything else. Just besides grammar. Language rules. That's all I got.
You should be like an English teacher in Asia or something. Probably do really well for yourself.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Well.
I'm super stoked on it. Thanks you guys for putting it on.
Let's go to the next one. The next one is wallets, V2. Keon, what's this?
Yeah, this is what EK has been working on. It's a pretty significant overhaul of our wallets. Before we, our first pass at this, we kind of had people attaching protocols. So you had a wallet that supports NWC, you'd be expected to find the thing that we had that allowed you to input an NWC. We realized that most people would go to that page looking for their wallet brand rather than the protocol. So we had to kind of re-architect everything away from protocols and make it wallets. And so if you go to the wallets page.
Oh yeah, let me
on Stacker News, you'll now see a bunch of brands. Okay.
Oh, I gotta have it set mine up, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it looks like you're locked out, but, yeah, you'll see a bunch of brands and it's basically a re-architecture of the foundation of our wallet implementation, that should lead to a few more iterations that improve the UI such that it's like much more intuitive. That's pretty much the gist of it. There are also some other cool things that EK did with the passphrase, because one of the things we do is we do not store the ability to spend your money on our servers in plain text. We have it encrypted, and so we do this thing where we synchronize the encrypted send credentials across your devices. And EK improved the UX, did an iteration of the UX on that as well. And
where was that photo the other day I saw on... I guess it was in the saloon.
It's not in the comments?
No, it's not in the comments. There's a photo of the attached wallet so you could see.
Oh, it's probably in here somewhere. I think it was Natalia.
Couldn't you just like go look at it? Or you, I guess.
That's... I don't have my passphrase.
If you go to failed, if you click on the failed for some of you, where.
Oh, it's in here.
I think it might be in that thread.
Yeah, so maybe it's.
I think it's Natalia. There you go.
Oh, there it goes. So that's what it looks like.
That's the brands. Yeah. In light mode. Which you shouldn't use, but yeah.
So you can see right there, it has the Albi, Blink, Blink's Wallet, Cash App, Cashew, Core Lightning, CoinOS, Fountain, Lyft Pay, Lightning Address, LNBits, LND, MiniBits, MPub Cash, NWC, Phoenix D, Primal, Rizful, Shock Wallet, Speed Wallet, Strike, Voltage, Wallet of Satoshi, Zebedee, and Zeus.
I've never heard of Rizful.
Neither have I.
I think their main angle is temporary cloud nodes. Mm. So it's kind of like Albi.
Yeah.
But I think it's quite a bit more low level. They're doing less hand holding. And they also kind of set the expectation that you might only run that node for a limited amount of time to do a few transactions or something and then take it
offline. I'm surprised like no one else in the ecosystem, like, did anybody like thank you guys?
Like freaking. Well, I was gonna say good job, EK.
Mm-hmm. I know, but like, I'm surprised no one ever said like, "Hey, no, good job."
It's still pretty early, and you know,
yeah,
it's
because other people can implement. This is all open source, right?
I mean, it being open source doesn't mean it's easy take it and
but use. I still have a question about Rizful.
Okay,
so you said Rizful does less hand holding.
Yes,
but I'm wondering when they hold your hand. Do they do it with Riz?
Probably.
Because they're full of it, apparently.
Oh.
Riz full?
Yeah, you're right. Oh. That might be what that is implying.
It's really cool that you guys... this is really cool that you guys got all of them.
Well, this isn't even all of them. Well, this is a fraction of... These are the wallets that people are already using on Sacrinus.
These are the most popular ones, I feel like.
Crazy.
You even got Shock Wallet in there.
Well, just the Lightning address, but that... This is mostly, so we should be able to add a lot more wallets and more protocols, which will allow even more wallets.
Yeah.
Right now, this is fairly limited, but that's pretty basically cool. What this is enabling us to do is easily expand our support for any.
It's pretty good, man. Good job, EK.
Programmable Lightning wallet.
Like, you'll expand so much, eventually you'll be able to use Stacker News on the moon. I'm serious.
You even got Cashew on there.
That's the dream.
The only one I don't see on here is Fetty. You left him out.
Screw cloud computing. It's about moon computing.
You guys didn't have Fetty on here, the Fetty wallet.
Because they don't have a way to receive offline. Although they do have a WASM library. Right. I should reach out to Alex Lewin. He worked on that.
Shout out Alex.
So you should be able to send money in a browser, but I don't think you can receive offline yet.
I don't think Alex watches this show, so.
Oh, he's probably a busy guy. That's fine.
Yeah, he's winning hackathons all around the world. So
he's running hackathons.
Apparently he didn't. Apparently he didn't pay out Jim. That's what Jim was telling me.
Oh wow! Get him, Jim.
He's out in Atlanta. Got to protect my boys. Pay him out.
I don't think Lewin is in charge of the money.
Oh, it's probably Bitcoin Conference, and that didn't pay him out.
Yeah, whoever.
That's typical David Bailey behavior, personally. So.
Wow.
I thought one was getting slayed.
I mean, but this just goes back to what I've been saying. It's like David Bailey stealing from the devs. This is what he does. Mm. So that's exactly what he would do. He doesn't pay out. He doesn't pay out Bitcoin hackathon winners. So he's gonna steal from. He's gonna steal from people that win hackathons, and that's why he probably hasn't paid out the hackathon winners.
Like trauma amnesia.
Fuck David Bailey. Anyways,
that's what he did to you.
That's the slay portion of the episode.
No, I'm not slaying him. It's just like, that's slay why, like, queen. When I found that out, I was like, yeah, that's so typical.
Yeah, slay Bitcoin king. Conference.
Anyways, what is he going to do? Send his goons after me?
Maybe.
You think he has goons?
I don't care.
He probably has monkeys with wings. Like the Wicked Witch of the West.
Yeah.
Anyways, we're going to go into...
Maybe they're like honey badgers with wings.
We're going to go into my post this week. Or no, let's go into Pleb Poet. SN Zine.
Go into the world of Pleb Poet. It's a zine.
It's a zine.
Number 17.
Number 17.
17, my favorite number.
Yeah, it's an important number.
What is this? This looks like art.
That's the first page. It's always the most artful page. It always takes me the longest to do, and it's fun.
Not truly, celebrating all-time high?
Since I've begun making the zine, every time I've made one, it feels like it makes itself.
Really? That's cool. Wow. You changed the font up there, the S and Z at the very top, the top left. So
I did.
Intentional.
I don't think I changed the font, but I did change. There used to be a line under it. I took that out.
Maybe that's what I'm seeing.
I think you also highlighted them, right?
It was, yeah. For maybe a few of the early zines.
Maybe that's what I'm doing. No, it's something different there.
Yeah. It was a little different.
Car pays attention.
I really like, did you, the hours of work to buy one Bitcoin, that graph?
That's a nice graph.
What's a den graph?
It's like depressing, but cool to see.
So it notes from the editor. It says, it is my pleasure to bring you another issue of SNZ this week. And I want to know what you think. What's the vibe? Are we rocking with this? Are we rolling with that? Whatever it is, I truly appreciate. They have a place to come together and connect on almost anything. Snacker News is the only place I want to be. And that's for real. I feel that. I like how you put it inside a box this week.
And that's for real. You can imagine Justin Bieber like saying that in one of his songs.
Justin Bieber was definitely like playing while I was making the zine. So.
Oh, makes
sense. That could be, you know, what happened. I channeled Bieber.
Do you make these right here?
I drew those little guys.
That's cool.
They're from a long time ago, and I bring them around every once in a while because they're little fun guys. Aliens. And that's the alien I saw in person. Real aliens? Yeah, I saw that person, that alien for real. I took a photo of it.
What is that in the middle of his
in
head?
In Utah. That's
his power source.
He's watching over the galaxy for us.
Yeah, also the way he walks.
That's some Men in Black stuff.
He also has.
But what do you think? What do you think? Because this is a collage that I put together.
Oh, that's not a real background that you have on your Windows machine.
No.
Okay.
What do you? I mean.
What do I think about it?
Yeah, the artistic integrity of this.
I think it's wild. It feels very It feels very 90s.
Yeah.
Windows 95 background.
That's what it is.
This is the type of stuff I would see in the 90s. To be honest.
Yeah, it's when psychedelic drugs.
This is like X-Files, because X-Files was a big thing back then. Yeah. So you would see this type of stuff, I want to believe stuff.
Do you think all aliens are conjoined at the knee like that with another alien?
Maybe their heads.
Like how they mate, maybe, or like when they, that's how they bond.
They definitely mate through the knee pits, yeah. For sure. They're like,
well, a lot of theories out there, they say like those aliens, those gray aliens are actually just like, you know, they're just biological, like.
The gray ones?
Yeah, they're not actually real.
Where
they're,
do they
They're rank? Like.
The ones that visit you in the night?
No, they say they're like, what is that? They're not real.
Ephemeral?
No, they're just like biological. Like they're just like drones. Like they're just
mechanical.
Like,
oh, they're machines from the future.
Not machines, but biological machines. Like,
well, we are biological.
But not, well, you know what I mean? Like they like, how do you say?
They're engineered.
Yeah, they're engineered.
Oh.
They're engineered to.
A bioweapon.
Because they're not really sent to, yeah, whatever. I don't know. I know what I'm saying, but they're not.
But really, I've just real. Started doing this thing where I'll like put a few screenshots into the post to give you a little bit this of a taste cool. of what it yeah. looks like.
Yeah, a tap on the shoulder.
And then I also, this was a new thing for the post today. I kind of like
tagged everybody.
I kind of like wrote up a little bit of like what got featured in it and like something yeah. fun to say about it.
So yeah, I like fun. That. I feel like that's definitely important now because it lets people know who's in there.
Yeah, sometimes I forget to do it, but.
Yeah, that's important.
Anyway.
Watching Boogs in there?
Yep.
Cool.
Yeah, I talked about his nuts.
Nice.
Big nuts. Some of them too big.
Cool. You said that you had the book to show?
Oh, I was working on it. It's not done.
It's not done yet? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, is there any other pleb poet drops we should be mentioning here?
Nope.
Okay.
Thanks.
Cool. We're going to jump into the... next top or car stop stories. I wanted to share this one. This was a good question by Signal312. He said, why is the book The Bitcoin Standard so effective? Orange pilling. I don't know if you saw this one, Keon. Let me switch screens. Sorry.
I did see it. I answered it.
Yeah. What did you say?
I said that it made people money literate. That was my main. My main point.
I agree with that.
Like they're not, there's no financial.
They didn't understand money before that book. And that was maybe the first book that addressed money as sort of a subject that you should know. And, you know, and then also had Bitcoin in it. And also, you know, maybe they had an encounter at Austrian economics. So it kind of did money literacy, Austrian economics, and Bitcoin sort of in one book. And that's, you know, kind of where a lot of Bitcoin stuff intersects.
Yeah. I actually think SNI is a better one as an orange peeling. So I've been diving more into this. I feel like it's just, it's so good, dude. It's mm-hmm. really good. There's so much in this library here. There's one that Ted was telling me about. And I think I told you about the shell. Let's see if I can find it. Reason out. Go back to search.
Shelling Out?
Yeah.
Shelling Out by Nick Szabo.
Yeah.
Classic.
Yeah. And then you have all the Parker's stuff in here too as well. I just feel like this is like the best. Like if you're just talking pure orange peeling, like pure orange peeling, like to get them orange peeled, I think this is probably the best resource, in my opinion. Like if you're just literally trying to get them orange peeled.
I think say, so. Oh, I'm sorry.
I'll go.
I just wanted a car to say orange again.
Orange peeled.
Orange.
Orange.
And then it also has, so it has that, plus it has the Satoshi Works too as well. But I think personally, like if you're trying to just get people orange peeled, I think SNI is the best bet personally. I don't know. I haven't tried it yet with normal people, but G is supposed to be having, what do you call it there next week at Alamo Labs?
Michael Goldstein.
And so I think.
Plebse.
Yeah, Plebse. So I think we'll see if that actually works. Like, because those will be normal people.
But just when you have someone in front of you, and you're just trying to tell them what you think is good, what you believe, just don't look at them as if they're a thing to be overcome and orange-pilled.
What do you mean?
But as a human who has their own thoughts, and if they're not going to agree with you, you didn't lose.
Say that again slower.
It was pretty slow already. But she's basically saying don't force-feed people orange pills.
Yep.
That's okay. What she said.
You have to present them the choice. And then what they choose is part of their own journey. So,
wow.
Anyway.
It's Morpheus over here.
That's Morpheus.
Yeah, but this one's written in 2002. Shelling Out, the Origins of Money by Nick Szabo.
Yeah, probably one of the most read Szabo essays because he gets into more or less how money is a ledger in here just by surveying historical monies.
Which is like same points made in Bitcoin Standard.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, I think that's the power of this essay. I think for a lot of people it revealed the nature of money to them. I would like, if someone wanted to go deep on Bitcoin, let's say they were interested in the orange pill, or they had just, you know, they gotten a taste of it or whatever, I'd probably give them Broken Money by Lynn Alden. That'd probably be my orange pilling book. I think I haven't read the Bitcoin Standard, but I did read Broken Money. And I enjoyed it a lot.
I think I would send him here personally. I think if anybody asked me where would you send him, I would send him to SNI personally.
Yeah, like it looks like a good collection.
Yeah, because I think here I could at least send him here. There's some stuff in the library that is kind of, I would even say, questionably out of date. Not a lot of it, but at least where we are now. But I think that's a good thing because it makes you put on a lens of like, I don't agree with that, but I respect it. So I think that's good too because it captures a moment in time for Bitcoin. But there's not a lot of that in here.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think this is great if you want to understand Bitcoin's history and stuff.
But there's a lot of it though that still resonates deeply into the ethos of Bitcoin. And I think that's the most important thing about this. Anyways, just want to share that because it was brought up this week. And this is a great time to reintroduce this to the new stackers that are coming on board. The other one I had is some AI stuff. Because where is it at? is to survive the AI age, the web needs a new business model. I don't know if you saw this. This was from Scoresby, another banger. It was The Economist. I don't know if you saw this, Keon.
I did not. I saw it. I didn't read it.
So the new Sam Altman movie came out.
Oh.
It's about the rise of OpenAI. And mostly this article touches on how Google came out back in, I guess, 2000 or 1999 or 2000.
Yeah.
And how they were able to capture the web and the search engine and how it brought about this new era of advertising and how now the internet is changing right before us. It's literally becoming just like a web scrape for all these AI systems. And even I told you, like, Stacker News is now showing up in OpenAI now. And I know we've talked about it on the podcast before, and you're like, yeah, there's no way around it.
Well, there's not. It's, I don't want to stop anyone.
Yeah. So like, now The Economist and some of these other bigger publications are actually talking about it now. And they're reporting on how, like, Stack Overflows go down. We've talked about it on that. We talked about that on the show. Some of these other sites are reporting that they're going down and business models are starting to fail. And so they're coming to the realization now that there's going to have to be some new way of getting some of these quote unquote deals into place. And it's funny because here they say, like, the cost is clear. Human traffic monetized with ads is the economic fuel of much of the internet. And then they go into here, where's it at? As the old model buckles, the web is changing. It's becoming less open as formerly ad-funded content is hidden from bots behind paywalls. Content firms are reaching people through channels other than search, from email newsletters to social media to in-person events. No one should expect the web of the future to look just as it does today. AI-powered search will rightly shake up some services. And then they talk about how Google is now implementing search within their web's results, but that's not a good thing, but they're still hyperlinking to it. But when you use something like OpenAI, it's just like giving you, spitting out the answer. So that leads me to this right here, this next one, my next post, which is the one that got the one that the Cloudflare, which I think is crazy. So this was the one I posted this week from Stratechery. This was fascinating. So Cloudflare released the Content Independence Day. And this is from Matthew Prince. I think he's a COO of Cloudflare. I don't know. I don't remember. But yeah, he also talks about the same thing The Economist was talking about this week about Backrub. I think that's what it was called initially, Google search thing. And he talks about the decline in search and pretty much verbatim for what The Economist is talking about. But he talks about this more in like a Swiss cheese thing. He describes this thing called like a Swiss cheese and how there needs to be this new kind of thing created. And he equates it to AI will need to serve up content that is unique, but fills in this Swiss cheese block that AI can't. So when you create new content, it has to be so good that it benefits these LLMs so much so that it fills in these gaps that AI can't fill in itself. And so it fills in these blocks of Swiss cheese. That's what he calls it. And so he goes on to say that they're working on this interesting concept, this interesting marketplace. But for now, they're going to lock down. They're going to lock down the scraping from their kind of like their infrastructure level. So now they've introduced like this kind of mission to Ben says it better. Yeah, so their core product is right here.
Isn't it just a paywall technology? Isn't it just something to detect a bot and allow it to not access the content? Isn't that most of?
They're gonna stop these AI companies from scraping your website or from anybody, and you're just gonna be able to do that. But it's basically just a shot fired from Cloudflare right now, And they control 20% of the web as far as like the amount of browsing. And they did this to Google back in the day. But it's just incredible how like you're seeing these both sides like kind of maneuver now. And it's just like this kind of, it's just like this chess game being played in real time. And then you have the content creators in the middle. And so it's just the first shot that's being fired. And it's just like big Google, it's like Google, it's like OpenAI, and then it's like Cloudflare, and like everybody's starting to fire their shots now. I think it's just fascinating to watch. You got any thoughts on all this stuff?
Nothing I haven't said before. I mean, it is interesting that everyone is seeking out solutions to this problem. Like how do we get paid by the LLM researchers or frontier model companies for the content they're taking from us, appears to be the goal. Well, they mentioned 402 in there, which is pretty cool.
But what if the answer is like, stop making internet content because you're not getting paid for it, and go make impact in the real world with your content?
Yeah, but they're known to scan books as well. So even if it's like even your handwritten book is immune, they could scan it. If you do let's say you get really extreme and you try to fight this by only doing live performances, someone can record it, video or audio. And then it gets fed to an L. There's like no escaping.
But you still got paid because the people bought tickets that were there.
Yeah. In a way, that's just it's another type of paywall.
Maybe there's no way to like escape it, but it's like, I think it's telling you where the value is. So you follow that. Like if it's not, if the value isn't, you're not getting paid for your content anymore. Well, why did we all of a sudden just start expecting that we should be paid for content online? Like maybe we shouldn't be, maybe we should go put it somewhere else where it's more valuable.
I think the reason people want to do this is that this actually makes their content more valuable. Like their content being online and LLMs using it to their advantage and LLMs being so valuable means that their content is valuable if they're part of the input there. Okay. And they just want to capture the new value that's getting created from their old content.
Yeah.
Even though they maybe shared it without the expectation of it capturing that value, but they feel like they're getting robbed.
I think Jana has a point though. Like I never thought about it that way, Jana. Maybe you're hitting on something that I haven't even clued into. Maybe that was just a time that where we did get paid for our content, and maybe we're moving into a time where we don't get paid for our content.
Well, it's like you just described the person who's like late to the gold mine, basically. Mm-hmm. Like somebody else discovered it. They were able to capture that new value. And then you're showing up. You still think that there's value for you there, but it's mm-hmm. dry.
Yep.
But then you're expecting and you're mad because you're like, no, I should be getting paid. It's like, go find the new place.
Yeah.
But that's always a losing game too.
Finding the new place?
Yeah.
Why?
Unless you have luck, I guess. You're the person who can just find it.
Well, you don't have to be lucky. You could just be very determined.
What's his name says you're lucky if you get rich?
Karl Marx?
No, hang on a second, Jenna. So I think you're let me just re-say this back to you so I'm clear on what you're trying to say. So you're saying that the millennials grew up in an era where we could make money from the internet, the web bloggers, the YouTubers, the you know, even the internet products that we created, the Web 2.0 products, these really cool initiatives that we did, right? And maybe we're moving to this paradigm shift with AI, this agentic web that they're calling it, this web scraping era is moving to where things are, yes, they're derivative. Yes, maybe they are kind of like synonymous with like less applicable to what we're desiring, but maybe that's just where we're moving in that era. And maybe the only real truthful thing that we're really seeking is in-person stuff. Yeah. And maybe that's where the real value is going to be derived from. Is that what you're kind of saying?
I mean, like, so that's what I feel. I don't know if I necessarily have, I mean, I feel that other people feel that as well. So this is all very vibes. My analysis is vibes based.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Take that for what it is.
Taking it.
Totally take it. Yeah, because he goes on to say the guy who wrote the article for Cloudflare, he ended up saying that, like, he sees it as, like, a lot of what AI reproduces is just derivative. And so he's calling for this divine content.
Yeah.
Creation era where things are going to be even much better. Like, we're going to get much better content creators. And yeah. I want to believe that, but I do think we're probably like a generation away from that.
Well, it's like there are those people that want to create that content, but they also want to be paid for it. And so I think that's where if you find Stacker News and you figure out you can be paid in like a money that is like much more valuable, then that's where you'll end up. You'll start working on that content.
Right. 100%.
Or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I would guess most of these paywalls are going to be mildly effective against preventing crawls. But maybe we've gotten good enough that we can like statistically determine that something is a bot, if it's a naive bot. But if I were, say, you know, China, and I felt no obligation to pay someone if I didn't, in America, if I didn't have to, I would, and it was cheaper for me to develop a website crawler that could deceive these products that are attempting to prevent me from reading content. If I could make it think that I was a human reading the content and crawling the content, I would do that.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm just...
There's levels to it.
Yeah. I think this is premised on the idea that this type of technology will be effective, and it most likely will not be totally effective. It itself is a Swiss cheese security model as far as protecting the content with a paywall, because it doesn't want to charge people. It just wants to charge bots. But then you have to be able to determine a bot, and bots are increasingly able to behave like people. So I just don't.
Mm. Yeah.
I just think it's the premise is not certain.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned.
So you're saying let the content flow.
Yeah. I think it strikes me as somewhat naive, but these guys, you know, I'm not the CEO of Cloudflare running 20% of the internet. So I'm probably just naive, actually. But this is my...
But from your vantage point?
Yeah, from my vantage point, I think trying to make... And Cloudflare does a lot of work already where they're very good at detecting bot traffic. That's like, I think, one of their main products. Everyone runs into their, like, prove you're not a robot stuff all the time, and which obviously has a lot of false positives. So perhaps they'll have a good time and this will actually come through because they have a lot of experience with this. But I would guess at important margins, this technology is vulnerable and will not guarantee the future that they think it guarantees.
Yeah, I think for the stackers at home that are listening to this or watching this, they prevent DDoS attacks, basically. That's their primary product, right?
I think it's one of their most obvious products. I think they are basically a AWS competitor at this point.
Oh, they are they?
Okay. I think they did CDNs and they did this kind of proxy that would detect DDoS attempts. But I think their flagship product.
Yeah. Anyways, I thought that was a fascinating post, and I think they are definitely shooting.
Yeah, I mean, like, however naive it may be or however, like, vulnerable it may be very soon, it's like they do have to have some kind of, like, positive thing to say, right? Positive message to rally behind.
There's an this is a problem, and they're beginning to work on solutions for it. So,
yeah. Yep.
Okay, we're going to jump into the top stackers. The top cowboys.
Oh.
Top cowboys, baby.
Oh, my God. Coop is up there. What the heck?
Dude, I've always been up there, bro.
Yeah, that was my joke.
Top cowboys, we got undisciplined.
But, like, why don't we see any women up there?
Whoa, that sounded kind of.
Guys, don't you think women should be allowed in the top 10? let's start a whole, like, I'm a feminist. Who else would say they're, like, let's get representation.
Wumble, clip this.
Yeah, maybe we can have different rankings for people.
Should the cowboy segment be clip this?
Give us rankings 1 through 5 separate from this. That's, like, where are the women at?
Now we're really seeing the pleb poet.
Every one day for a woman counts for 10 days.
Exactly.
Are you guys being real here?
No, not being real. Okay.
I'm being very serious.
This is gonna show. Thing. I was like, Plepo is gonna show up on what's that girl's name?
Call her daddy.
No, I was thinking of the other one. The she's super popular. Pearly
Red Scare.
Oh. Alex Earl.
Is that her real name? Pearly.
I don't know who that is. Sorry.
Getting my YouTube.
If I were a girl, I'd listen to the Red Scare podcast.
I do. But they're kind of annoying.
Yeah, but Yeah, as a girl, I probably like love hate it, you know?
Yeah, I kind of love hate it.
Anyways, how do you know these stacker in hiding aren't women?
That's fair point.
You know, maybe.
Fair point. And I'm just going to believe that they are.
There you go. Aardvark could be a woman.
Well,
I mean, oh, no, he's not. We saw him in real. Actually,
well, I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah, they are. Deep fake, dude.
I'm just kidding.
Let's make everyone prove they're not a woman.
Could be an actor pretending to be a woman.
21. I got the lucky number 21. Boom.
Oh, you did. Wow.
Woo,
doggy. You've kept it, bro.
Yeah. That's what I do.
Congrats.
Just enough. Real Bitcoin doggy. 23. I was Mercury. We got OT. Kepfer, 27. Who else we got? Signal, 312. Unschooled. Unschooled is 36. 0x Bitcoiner 40.
Unschooled is rising up.
Oh, really?
And I see you, Unschooled. I see your efforts.
Where is he at?
I appreciate it.
Oh, right there.
Yep.
7 days. Wow.
He's just come back in a big way recently, I feel like.
We got Nelt. Crypto coin's back? Wow.
Crypto coin's
been gone for a while, right?
Number 53.
Justin's.
That's our first woman.
Where?
53.
Oh, Plepo. Natalia's back too. How do you know she's not going to show up here? Oh,
yeah.
No,
I know Natalia's back. Yeah.
Boomy's back. Dang. Look at this. Keon, you're getting a lot of old stackers coming back. What's going on?
All time high.
Is it all because of the do you think it's because of the wallets?
Oh, I don't know.
You think that's what it is?
I have no idea why. They would come back if they ever left.
Plunda? Totally Human Writers?
Maybe they came back for that Tether documentary.
Yeah, for sure.
The Muzzman? Look, we got a Muzzman sighting now, too.
Oh, wow. Yeah. He posted his podcast.
Look, you got Muzzman and Max there, too? Wow.
Wow, all the money men.
All the money guys are back.
Is Max wearing a Stacker News hat?
Yes.
Oh, is he really?
He's one of the first recipients of
his.
Oh, wow. Look at that. That's a handsome guy. All right, who else we got? Norbert? I don't remember Norbert.
Hair. I like his hair a lot.
Wait, what?
Max has great hair.
Philippe?
He's grown out.
Isn't Philippe?
Okay. It has like natural highlights on it.
Okay.
Like,
isn't Philippe an old stack?
Okay.
And yeah, he has like that surfer head of hair you were talking
that's
about.
That's right, but yeah. is he responsible for other people?
No, he's a VC, but he's kind of just doing his thing.
Tony's
so maybe that,
no, that's not the same Tony.
But I think he might have grays, so maybe he's responsible for other people.
Who else is here? So why'd you guys stop at 115?
I think that's all the people that have hats right now.
Oh, is that how it stops? Oh, did you see Bitcoin? No, is Bitcoin Pub the same one who did the funny podcast one? No, that's not
him. What?
Did you see the funny podcast one this week?
The funny podcast.
Oh, yeah. The one?
Did you see that
frustrated one? Bitwife.
Yeah, did you see the Bitwife one? Did you see that?
Yeah, that was like a bugle.
See, that's the only time women get mentioned on this website.
Okay, what was it called?
Is to make fun of them as wives.
What was it? I'm serious. What is this?
It was using the woman's voice to make fun of male.
What was the name of the thing?
Was it?
Yeah, okay, you guys were just a vehicle.
What was the name of the post?
You weren't even the subject of the critique. That's how little women matter in Bitcoin.
What was the name of the thing?
Is it Bitwife? Just a vehicle for.
See, I don't even
remember. It's right there.
Oh, this
frustrated Bitwife.
Oh yeah, this one was. Dude, this one was hilarious, dude. Was it? I just want Janice's thoughts on this.
I didn't think it was that funny. I mean, it was not real.
What do you think about this?
What you knew, you're just like, oh, someone's having a little fun, which I love that for them.
What did you think about this post though? When you first saw it,
she just shared it. She
just told you, bro.
Okay, sorry. Keon, what did you think about this post?
I thought it was a bugle skit.
Okay.
Because it sounds like one.
Siggy thought it was you.
I mean,
Siggy literally said,
oh. Yeah, I loved that one.
That was the best one.
Yeah, that was the best one.
He thought it was my wife. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or he didn't think it was my wife. He was just kidding.
I know he was kidding.
There are way more than 20 of us listening, at least 115. Yeah.
I don't think there are. Are there? There are 20. I would say. Yeah. I would say we'd be lucky if we broke 20.
Yeah. But you know, this little post was pretty revealing about like, I think the wife kind of flamed herself.
What do you mean?
For how she snapped, and then he was upset. It's like, yeah, like if you had an opinion about it, you shouldn't withhold it, and then all of a sudden, when you're really frustrated, and it comes out as frustration, and then be weirded out when that hurts his feelings.
I just don't know
why. So the communication issues already broke down, and now you're going to Stacker News about it. It's just, it did make an entertaining read.
So you're saying they have a problem in their relationship?
If I'm reading between the lines, I'm saying maybe it's time for therapy.
Dang, this is
This
is like
record a podcast of the therapy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do a Bitwife therapy live. That would be such an entertaining show.
It sounds like he needs to invite her on her podcast.
Yeah, invite her on the podcast. Did I ever tell you guys that Austin and I were going to make a podcast a long time ago together?
Oh, that'd been cool.
The Bitcoin podcast. We did like 2 episodes.
Oh, that's amazing.
Did you release them?
No.
Oh, you should release them.
No.
So we can make fun of you for them, whatever they were.
Okay. So cool. And I think that's all we got. Oh, actually, hang on, let me go back. The other one was, let me go back here. I'll go all the way back. Oh, and then we have the last one, which is Fountain. Let's see if it loads. Yep. Zap from Blockchain Boog. There you go. And Gray Ruby.
So why do you think he calls himself Gray Ruby?
What do you mean?
Well, because like a ruby is red.
Oh,
I said it was like a ruby, but a diamond in the rough type of ruby. That was my
Okay.
That was my interpretation. I think he told me why he calls himself Gray or his wife. I think the nickname his wife gave him.
That's a good one. I like it.
Cool. Yeah, and that's all we got for this episode of Stacker News Live. Keon, what are you doing this weekend?
What am I doing this weekend? I'll probably do the normal things that I do. Which is I'll do the newsletter, I'll hang out, I'll breathe, I'll sleep, I'll eat. Those kinds of things. That's kind of I don't have fun, as you know, and I'm keeping that up. It was my New Year's resolution to not break the cycle.
To not break the cycle.
Yeah. And just never have fun.
Love it.
Yeah. How about you, Carr?
I'm going to work tomorrow. And I think that's about it. I got any plans. Put, what are you doing this weekend?
We're about to have a birthday party for a dog.
Oh, yeah. Let's go.
Let's go. Birthday dog.
Happy birthday, the dog. We'll take a picture and post on Stacker News later, I'm sure.
How old is that?
15, 17.
Really?
Maybe in dog years, it's 102 or something like that.
It's yeah, something like that.
It's 102 years.
Something like that.
It's an old dog, but still.
It doesn't look old to me.
It's old.
Bring him on camera.
He is old.
He's probably shy.
Oh. Zoe. Nah, because she just stepped out, so he's really concerned about where she went.
Yeah.
I didn't know. I thought it was a young dog.
Yeah, we're having a pup party.
Was it born gray?
Blub, blub.
All questions I cannot answer. But
are there supposed to be more dogs coming? Oh, there are? Okay.
Wait, what? All his dog friends?
Who's coming?
Oh, Jason's dog, Chip.
Oh, that's cool.
Remember Chip?
Is there going to be dog cake? Oh, cool. There's going to be some
dog cake. We're all going to try some dog food tonight. Let's go.
Have you ever, I didn't know you were a dog daddy.
Have you ever had dog food?
Oh, it's like your step dog. Okay.
He was
born black. Whoa. Wait, you like re-engineered him? Oh, okay.
There you go.
So,
okay. Oh, there's more people coming. Okay.
She went, we're back.
About to, went back.
It's a real party.
There's more. Oh. Wow. Here we go. Well, it looks like it's happening.
It's a real
Stackers, party. You enjoy yourself this weekend. Go find your dog and, you know, vibe with
him. Yeah, if it's lost, especially. Don't let it just be out there.
There you go.
Zap.